The divine key keeper. That's hard to say, a little confusing. Key keeper. Spiritual vision. Spiritual vision is a subtitle. The divine key maker, spiritual vision. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now here we have God talking about making man, making him a part of his creation. And I would remind you that in the first 5 days, God created everything man would need, including the planet to live on. And then on the sixth day, he made man, which was the crowning touch. It was the whole point of creation. Without man, it would be what they don't need creation. He made it for man. Man was the crowning touch because man was always God's spiritual vision to be the object of his love. Before we go on, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand our text. Father, we do come to you, Holy Spirit, I should say. We come to you, all of you, we come to you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We come to you and ask you to walk amongst us. We ask you, Lord, to open up our minds and our hearts to the message. We ask you, Lord, to bring the spirit of understanding to us. And Lord, even the spirit of conviction, if need be. We ask you, Lord, to help us and to edify us and to let us leave here with a blessing. Let us leave here with an application we can use in our life or share with another. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Now, I got the title, the key maker. I call it the divine key maker. It came from a 2003 movie I'm sure you're all aware of called The Matrix. Now, the storyline of that movie was very simple. People were living in an evil computer-generated world. This world had an infinite number of doors that opened and closed in different parts of that world. Now, there was a character in there, and he was called the Keymaker. And he had keys or made keys that would open any door in the Matrix. And in the sense of living, sometimes I feel like a Matrix of unlocking doors in this world and in the spiritual world. And I would remind you that you do that. You are more of a spiritual creature than you are a physical creature. And I say that because 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that we are made up of a body, soul, and a spirit. The body is perishable. It will go into the ground one day. The spirit and the soul will move to the eternal realm in one of two places. And in doing that, you'll be in the eternal realm forever. So the time that you spend here on earth is really not much in relativity to eternal life or in the other case as well. So unlocking doors is very important. And in the spiritual world, the key maker, the idea of that could be applied to Jesus Christ. To begin with, why? To begin with, he's the creator. He is the divine key maker. All the keys in the world and the universe are made by him and held by him. Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. By his will, everything was created and still exists to this very day. All of us sitting here, if you went ask the doctor, he would tell you that we are really a lot of water and some minerals and iron and a few other things and just encased in a flesh. And so we're existing because he wants us to exist. And as a divine key maker, we know that's true because he gave Peter the keys to heaven, didn't he? In Matthew 6:19, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And in Revelation 1:18, Jesus also testified to John on Patmos, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades. He has the keys to everything. In addition to that, Christ's disciples are given the keys that unlocks heaven's blessings. Did you know that? Did you know you have a key to unlock heaven's blessings? It's Ephesians 3:1. It said, "Blessed be our God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all heavenly blessings. As a child of God, you have all spiritual blessings at your disposal. You have a key, and the key is Jesus Christ. The key is obedience and submission. When you do that, you go and you turn the key, and the blessings of God, either in comfort, peace, joy, the fruit of the Spirit, whatever it is, those are all of yours to claim. And I dare say Jesus is not only the divine key maker, not only that, he is the divine key. He's actually the key that unlocks doors to spiritual life and to spiritual death. John 3:16, "For God so loves the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." He is the key to that. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. He is the key to eternal life and the spiritual death. And of all the keys that we have as believing Christians, three of the most important keys for living a Christ-centered life, it's called the Lordship of Christ, a term not used too much today, but living for Christ, the three keys are spiritual vision, spiritual leading, and spiritual peace. Those are the three most important keys in your walk. Why? It was A.W. Tozer who said, "How we view God, our attitude towards God, determines how we're going to worship him." If you're a child of God, you need to have spiritual vision, because you, as I said before, you are more of a spiritual creature than you are a temporary creature. And you need God to be leading you, and you need the peace which passes all understanding. These are things that Christians need. Why? To be settled. Why? Because we live in a world that's corrupt. We live in a world that's very corrupt, and everything in this world seems to be going nuts, and it is, but it isn't, because it's all under God's control. And don't like it, don't understand it, maybe, whatever, you may not even believe it, but that's what the Bible says. It's all under God's control. Now, I would add, to unlock the temporal, that is the temporary blessings in this world and the spiritual victories in this life that we all have to claim. Remember this, there are the only people in heaven are veterans. When you become a Christian, it's not something you just say, "Okay, Lord, I'm saved. I'm going to sit in the parking lot now and I'll take my time. And when you come and get me, I'm ready to go home." It ain't that. When you get saved, it's a fight. And you fight every day. I told a Bible study this morning a little story about how me, a guy that preaches this stuff and reads it and studies it and lives it and does all that stuff, no different than you. I had to fight the other day, big time. Got the victory, though. Got the victory. That's the key. Fighting isn't a problem. Getting the victory is the problem. You can't take your little white flag and wave it like that every time things get tough. Life is tough. And thank God that we have Jesus Christ and all the promises that are in this book to get us through this life. Now, the key to this is those three keys: spiritual vision, spiritual leading, and spiritual peace. They go together, and they have to be exercised in a proper sequence. You must turn the key of spiritual vision, then the key of spiritual leading, and then the spiritual key of peace in order to get the benefits and the blessings that come from each of those keys. Vision, leading, and peace. These keys will only work. They'll only work if you use them in that sequence. You can't go with the leading if you don't have the vision. You can't get the peace if you don't have the leading. They have to be vision, spiritual leading, and spiritual peace. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about the other two. Today, I want to focus on spiritual vision, the very first thing that we all must have before the other two keys will work. Now, what does spiritual vision mean? I've been using that term now for the last year and a half. It was put on my heart. Spiritual vision, you know what it means in simplicity? It means seeing life the way God sees life. It means seeing everything through God's eyes. Now you say, well, how could that be? Simple. He's inside of you. You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. You can see the things you can see through God's eyes because you're a new creature in Christ. You have spiritual vision. You have to exercise it. That's all it boils down to. Now, let me tell you how God sees life. In Genesis 3, in the first two chapters of Genesis, what happened? Adam and Eve did see things God's way, didn't they? In 1 and 2, they saw God's way. They walked with him in the cool of the day. It's called a Christophany. It was literally Jesus Christ in a pre-birth form. It's called in theology a Christophany. It's when he appeared in human form before he was even born. And he walked with them in the cool of the day. How do we know that's true? Because he went looking for them. He said, where are you? Where are you? And as a result of that, we can infer that he was walking with them all the time. But in Genesis 3:6, all of a sudden, things started to change, didn't they? Man decided, guess what? I don't like God's view of life. Man wanted his own view of life. Actually, he wanted to be God. Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So he disobeyed God. So what did God do? You can look at it. I look at it this way. He held court in Eden like a judge. When man disobeyed God, he held court, and everything for man changed at that point. Everything. Adam's immortality, he was not going to die. He said, if you don't eat it, if you eat of it, you'll die. But if you don't, you won't. His immortality was temporarily revoked. And the death penalty was enacted at that point for man. And he was sentenced to death as a punishment for his sin. I forget how many years he lived, but he lived to be a grand old age. And then he went into the immortal state, but he had to die for his sin. Then God separated himself from both from man, both physically by kicking him out of the garden and then spiritually. Adam was also sentenced to a life at hard labor. He was going to work hard for his bread. And you can read about all these judgments in Genesis 3, 17 through 19. It lists everything that I just said. And lastly, God removed the divine vision he gave Adam and replaced it with a natural vision which is the same vision the world has today. The natural vision. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The reason why people outside of Christ are dead to Christ is because they know nothing about God. They don't want to know anything about God. Romans 8:7, that the carnal mind is hostile to God. In Romans, in another place, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who seek after God. Not one of you here who know Jesus Christ as your Savior went looking for him. The same way Adam didn't go looking for God in the garden and say, hey, I did something wrong. Will you forgive me? He didn't do that because he didn't want to be forgiven. He wanted to be God, and he wanted to see life from his view, the natural view, rather than the way God wanted him to see it. That's what he wanted. And today, the Adamic nature to sin is in all the children of God. The only way it comes out is through regeneration. That is being called by God out of the world and into heaven. That's in Colossians 1:13. It says, we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. That's the transfer. That's the difference. When you do that, everything changes. But before you do that, and all of you that are saved, remember, before salvation, you may have been a moral person. You may have been a good person. You may have done a lot of things for other people. Give out some money, maybe, or give people rides, or do anything. All good, all moral people. To God, you're dead. In his vision, all the lost are dead to him. They have no relationship with God. Now, let me just say this. The evangelical church today, and so many churches, millions of churches, put it that way. Millions of churches, Christian churches, are right now giving a service. And not God isn't listening to any of them. Why? Because there are so few people who want the lordship of Christ in their life and wants God's view. This is God's view, by the way. You look at this book, you see God's view on life here, and they don't want it. How do we know that? Because the evangelical church today is corrupt, because it's being run and being taught by wolves in sheep's clothing. They're calling good evil and evil good. They're trying to fill the pews with people instead of fill the pews with truth. And because they're doing that, the church is falling. Also, again, part of God's ultimate plan. It's all part of his plan. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Spiritual life in Christ. When you come to Christ, it means that God has regenerated you. I love that word. Regeneration means basically spiritually reborn. Born again, but reborn is a little better, because born again means you did it twice. But this means you were born once and now you're reborn. You're spiritually reborn. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us we're new creatures in Christ. Listen, if you went back to before you were saved and you looked at that person and you looked at the person you are now, there better be a difference. There should be a difference. You're different because you were regenerated. And we have that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And one of the all things that are new is your spiritual vision. Now, as a born-again Christian, now you should have the desire to see things through God's eyes. Spiritual vision through this book. Matthew 13:16 is one of the verses that shows that. Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, in your ears that they hear. All of you here should have spiritual vision into everything. Everything. And our regeneration doesn't only give us back to God and his view of life. It doesn't bring us just there. Now we also hear God. They don't hear God outside of, nobody outside of Christ hears or sees God. I know that's a very difficult thing to hear, because so many people say, oh, I've been a religious person for 40 years and I go to this church and, you know, we do this. If it's not adhering to this book, then they don't have the same vision as God does. And that's very simple. We have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Otherwise, this book wouldn't work. But because we do have the mind of Christ, we know that the book works. We know that the book is true. We understand the spiritual things of God. Do you understand, beloved, that being regenerated means our personal relationship with God has been restored? You're restored. Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The war is over. For every single one who decides to accept the sacrifice that Christ gave, for every single one of them, the war is over. God is for you now. He's not against you. Who shall lay a charge to your elect, to God's elect? Who? You can be charged by people. You can be disliked by people. But they're not going to judge you in eternity. God's going to judge you. You're one of his kids. Nobody can put anything against the child of God for that reason. Not saying you should do things that are not good, but I'm saying that nobody will hold the charge against God's elect because you belong to him. I dare say our relationship with God, and this is of you, our relationship with God right now is enhanced in many ways over what it was even in Eden with Adam and Eve. It's enhanced. It's better. I'll use that word, better. And here's why I say that. In Christ, we not only have spiritual vision, spiritual hearing, spiritual leading, the fruit of the Spirit, and God himself indwelling us. They didn't have that. He's indwelling us. We're also adopted. We're members of his household. And in addition to that, we're blood relatives and joint heirs with Christ in the kingdom of God. They didn't have that. They had Eden. They lived on the planet. It was perfect. Yeah, nothing died. It was really great. But they didn't have what we have. So God enhanced this with salvation. It was enhanced. Adam and Eve didn't have any of that. And if that weren't enough, our immortality / eternal life is guaranteed by our Savior. We're going to live with Jesus Christ. They didn't have that either. They were living in a garden. We're going to be living in you could say cottages or mansions, whatever it is, John 14:2-3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, they didn't live with God. You're living with God. And in other places, it says, I will allow those who persevere to sit with me on my throne. They didn't have that. Garden of Eden was God's vision, perfect. But you know what he did? When sin came, he made it better. He said, we'll do better than Eden. We'll do better than Eden. When Jesus said to Satan, to the devil, to the serpent, you shall bruise his heel and he shall bruise your head. That was the first Christmas message. It was a message that I'm coming back in time, my time. I'm coming back and I'm going to get the victory for all my people. And then I'm going to give them all those things that I just said. And you have them. They're all yours. You see, beloved, we have all this, plus we have all that I just said, plus the divine key maker. He's given us a key, spiritual vision that unlocks the door to living a victorious life while you're here. You won't need it in heaven because you'll have perfect vision. Here, you have to have spiritual vision. And that being said, it's sad to say most believers don't have a clue. I'm talking about believers. They don't have a clue about what spiritual vision means. Well, you got to live by the Bible, do this and that. Let's call it what it is. Let's find applications for everything. Let's say we look at everything spiritually. That's spiritual vision. The modern church isn't teaching that because they're more interested in liberal vision or worldly vision or natural vision. They're not interested at looking at life through God's eyes. If they were, would all those rainbow flags be hanging across their churches if they were looking at life through God's eyes? They're not interested in it. Isaiah 29:13 talks about them. They don't have a heart for God. They have a heart for people, but they don't have a heart for God. Isaiah 29:13, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. And in another place, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Why? And in another place, he says, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. The Bible is replete with admonitions that this is the only vision you should ever use. If you're using anything outside of this, then it's flesh. Because listen, let me tell you something. People go through this life with two types of vision. You either go through it with spiritual vision or you're going to go through it with fleshly vision. And we've all done that. We know what that's like. Well, you know, I could just, you know, before I got saved, I could justify anything I wanted. I could convince myself, even if I knew I shouldn't do it, I could convince myself that I really needed it. That's fleshly vision, not spiritual vision. But in fact, spiritual vision is the key that unlocks the reality of this world. And all things in this world have a spiritual connection. I've been saying this for the last 2 years to people over and over and over. And I cannot think of a truer thing that I could ever tell another person that's a born-again Christian. Every single thing in this world, bar none, has a spiritual connection. You know why? Because everything in this world runs by God's ruling providence. Everything. His sovereign ruling providence rules every life, every event, every situation, every conversation, every tear that falls. It rules absolutely everything. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Let me give you a few proof verses. Daniel 2:21. He puts kings in and takes them out. That's pretty cool. The president we have, you know, I don't know if you like him or don't like him, but I don't even care about that. What I want to tell you is we voted for him, but it was God who put him in. He put him in. He took Trump out, put Biden in. I don't know who he's going to put in next. I really don't care because I know he's in charge. The Bible tells me that his sovereignty, my spiritual vision tells me that his sovereignty is the one that acts. All we do, I told you, our life is like a dancer. He is the great choreographer. You come into this world and you dance to his tunes, but he already made the music and he knows each step you're going to take. All things in this world have a spiritual connection because of providence. Daniel 2:21. Hey, how about Isaiah 45:7? It's even clearer. I form the light and I create darkness. Listen, I make peace and I create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. You get the significance of that? All calamity, all light, and all darkness. In essence, he's saying anything that happens in this world, it's by my grace and my sovereignty. And what does that mean? All of that means in reality, in this world, we must look at everything that goes on in our life with a spiritual vision. For example, let's say you have a bad day at work. That happens to all of us at times. Spiritual vision tells you that God's working in your life. It's not a bad hair day. There's something in that day that God put in that day that you had a bad day for your good. Maybe it's to help you grow. Maybe it's to help you be patient or practice love. I want to tell you, for me, it was patience. Every time I saw a school bus, I could feel my blood pressure starting to rise because I knew if I got behind it, and it was going. And every time I saw a signal light right up my same street, and I couldn't think of another way to go. Now there was, but I couldn't think of it. Why? Because I was thinking about how angry I was that school bus was slowing me down. And one day I looked at that with spiritual vision and said, Lord, I know you're doing that for my good. What's the good? And I tried to think about what good is there in putting school buses or me being angry. That was it. Why am I angry? Because I'm behind a school bus. Oh, because I have somewhere to go and I want to do it in my time frame. And so I'm angry if somebody's stopping me. What's that? Pride. Lack of patience. No long suffering. None of that. So you know what I did to beat that? I go looking for school buses to follow. I do. I go looking for them. And when I find them, I sit there and say, thank you, Lord. That's spiritual vision. I tell people all the time, if you got things going on in your life, and you don't like it, practice doing the things you don't like. That's how you get the victory over them. You don't reject them because God put them in your life for a reason. And actually, the reason you're having a bad day really doesn't matter. What does matter is that your spiritual vision shows you God is giving you something you need. Do you understand that? We go to God with all these prayers of what we want. How about going to him with what we need? And how do we know what we need? The only way you know that is through spiritual vision. I know that I needed more patience because he put that, those school buses in my life. He did. And you know what helps you the most about that? Is that it helps you change your attitude. Now that I know the things that I know from my spiritual vision, I don't have the same attitude because I know God's working in my life. I know there's nothing in my life that's going to happen that God didn't put there. Not one thing. Injuries, diseases, suffering, bad breaks, money problems, grief, or even all the good things in life are put there by God. And it's put there for your good. You know how I know that? Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you know what that means if you really look at that in the original language? You can't make a bad choice. You might make a choice that hurts. You may make a choice that causes a little pain and suffering, but even that will work out for your good somehow. Because God is working in your life and only spiritual vision can give it to you. I can't tell you how many times people say things to me. And the first thing I do is I think of it spiritually. I don't think of it temporally anymore. Why? Because that's the way to understand it. You know, my mother, when I was a kid, I've told you this before. I used to think I knew it all when I was a kid, as all kids do. And my mother used to say to me, "You think you know it all. You think you know it all." And she went home to be with the Lord, right? And I never got the chance to tell her, "Ma, now I do know everything. I know it because God put it in my life and it's in here. I do know everything. Everything that I need to know. And all that I need to know is that anything that affects my life because of Christ." Why? Because he put that in my life too. And he put that in your life. And he bled and he died and he took all my sins and your sins and he did it so that he could get into your life and give you the vision that you need to look at everything, which is spiritually, not temporally. Example, I'm driving down the road and all of a sudden my car stops. Well, first thing to do if you're not saved is, "Oh, let's go kick the tires. Let's froth at the mouth. Let's get all upset because our car broke down." I have a witness. I was in my car once and I drove 40 miles from this place, from Torrington, from where I live. And my car caught on fire. I was in the woods. And three guys at the boat launch come over and said, "Hey, mister, I don't know if you noticed, but your car's on fire." And I said, "Okay, let's go look at it." So we did. I didn't run. I wasn't panic stricken. I went out and sure enough, the brakes, the calipers on the brakes locked up, caused so much friction. There was flames coming out from my wheel well. So I went over to it and I kicked a little sand in it. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what this is about, but I'm good with it. I don't care what it is." And that's a true story. I don't care. Which brings me to the next point. The most wonderful thing about spiritual vision is I care, but I don't care. I told the class this morning, I have, since I've been here, I have well over 600 sermons that I preach, right? Of all of them, the one I keep gravitating to, the one that I keep thinking about, the one that gives me the most understanding is the one about I care, but I don't care. And that simply means this. I care that my car was burning. In the sense being, I got to get a new car or get it fixed, whatever, it's going to be an expensive thing. But I don't care because I know that even that's going to work out for my good. So somebody said to me, "Well, how are you going to get home?" I said, "I don't know. Let's see what God will do." And I went to the boat launch and I just went back and forth. And I actually loosened up the brakes. The problem was when I came to a red light, they didn't want to stop. That was the problem. And I had like 5 red lights before I could get on the highway. Every one of them I stopped. The first one I rolled through a little bit, but it was turning green when I did it, okay? But the rest of them, it stopped. I came out at exit 44 and I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to stop. I think I'm going to be ordering a big Whopper here pretty soon. And I'm going to make my own drive-in window because, you know, you're coming down that exit, right? It stopped. All because it was going to work out for my good no matter what. And you look at everything with spiritual vision. Do you understand how much pressure that took off my heart? Just looking at things through God's eyes. Why it happened, I don't care. It did happen, and I got to get the victory over myself. I got the victory over my anger. I got the victory over my pride. I got the victory over knowing that I trusted God for the whole thing. I mean, it was a win-win situation. I didn't care what it cost. It ended up costing me $2,000. I didn't care. You understand that? That's what spiritual vision does. It doesn't change things. It gives you the attitude to accept things, knowing that they're going to work out sometime for your benefit. Spiritual vision is everything. And if you don't have spiritual vision, what are you looking at? How are you looking at your view? How are you viewing your world without spiritual vision? How are you doing it? You're doing it with your flesh. That's all you got left. You either look at it through God's eyes, or you look at it through the eyes of your flesh. It's that simple. Very, very simple. That's why I say to you, all events, everything. And it's only when you unlock that truth that I just gave you and view life with the key of spiritual vision. It's only when you do that, that you see through God's view, this book, in all things work together for good. And the word, if you look it up, we've done this many times. If you look up the word all in the original language, the interpretation of that word, I forget how you pronounce it, but it was without exception. That's what it means. And you know, the other thing about spiritual vision is that it's not just something we use outwardly, we use it inwardly. Spiritual vision looks inward as well as outward. 2 Corinthians 13:5. You know what it tells us to do? Examine ourselves to see if you're in the faith. So when we examine ourselves, what are we looking with? When you examine yourself, well, you know what? I'm going to take time and I'm going to see what's going on spiritually in my life. Are you doing it with spiritual vision or are you doing it with fleshly vision? Are you going through your life in your head? Are you going through your days in your head? And you tend to stay away from that part of your heart where you might have something in there you don't want to see. Did you ever do that? Did you ever just say, well, I'm working on that, so what's the point of that? I know it's there. I'm just working on it. I get rid of it. That's fleshly vision. Spiritual vision is this. It's there. It's coming out. It was A.W. Tozer who said, anything that keeps me from God has to be burned immediately. Immediately, get rid of it. Matter of fact, if you're using fleshly vision to examine yourself, you should save yourself some time. If you're not looking for negativity, unbelief, or some other sin, if you're not doing that, go fishing or play golf. You get more out of it. It's a better thing to do. It's a better use of your time. There's no benefit in examining yourself with fleshly vision, none whatsoever. But I dare say for those who examine their heart with spiritual vision, you'll see things in there you didn't even know existed. That's the whole point. The Bible says, search me and try me, O Lord, and find if there be any evil way in me. Why? I'm doing it myself, but he wants it all out. You search me and try me and let me know what it is, and I'll confess it to you. And what's the benefit of doing that? A cleansing, giving up sin, a better life, a better attitude, and a better relationship with God. That's really what the bottom line is for spiritual vision. Better life, better attitude, better vision with God. And also, spiritual vision, and I'll close with this, allows us to look upward. We look outward, inward, and upward with a heart that's filled with love. When we view life through spiritual vision, we understand and appreciate life more. Why? Because we know, we see just how involved God is with each and every one of us. Did you know that? You know that God loves you so much. We'll never understand it, even when we get to glory. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is God talking to you, Vinny, Tim, that gentleman, just talking to you. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. No human being would ever do that for you. And Jeremiah 31:3 tells us that why he'll never leave you or forsake you. He says, the Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, yes, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness will I draw you. That's how much he loves you. Eternity past, basically speaking, you were always on his mind. Now, it's only when you look at these verses in your life and your life with the key of spiritual vision, only when you do that will you clearly understand, not clearly, but you'll see and understand the intimacy that God wants to have with you. He wants you so badly to avail yourself to him by letting go of those things that offends him. He won't. Your relationship with God, your intimacy with God, everything about you with God is based on what you're willing to give up. You ever think about that? You ever think about what you're willing to give up? I hear people say, well, I'd like to do this, but I only have an hour a week to do it. And so I can maybe give a half an hour to God when I do this or that. And it breaks my heart when I hear that. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because God gave us everything that we would be sitting here this morning, having the ability to see things spiritually, making sure that everything works out for our life, regardless of what it is. And we give him a lousy hour, give him a couple hours a week. We maybe read the Bible for a while at home. Instead of studying the Bible, I might add, reading it instead of studying, altogether different. We're not called to read it. We're called to study it. Okay. We do all of that, and in an hour of time is too much to give to God for what he's given us. I don't know if you have a cross anywhere, an empty cross, because it is empty. I don't know if you have that in your house, but you should. You know why? You should look at that cross every so often and remember what that cross symbolizes to you. It symbolizes God's hatred of your sin. It symbolizes God's love of you. And it symbolizes that he died and resurrected and paid all your sin debts so you would have spiritual vision to see and to realize that everything in your life has a spiritual connection to him. I don't care if it's a tear. I don't care if it's laughter. I don't care what it is. Every single thing in this world has a spiritual connection because everything in this world is providentially ordained. If you know Christ as your Savior, take that home and think about it. Think about what was given to give you that vision. Don't look at a phone call like it's just a phone call, or don't look at something. And no matter what it is, I don't care how mundane an act it is or an event, look for the spiritual connection. And if you don't get it at first, that's okay. Look for it. Sooner or later, you'll make the connection and you'll see it. If you're listening to this and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that means that God provided a sacrifice for you and you said, nope, I'm good. I don't need it. I'm okay. Everything is right. Then for you, you have fleshly vision, natural vision. You don't see the things of God. I don't care if you read the Bible every day. I don't care. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that you don't. The natural man doesn't do that. And the natural man is anyone who rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior and lives their life according to what they think this book says, rather than having the mind of Christ. And the funny thing about it is, I've had people, and again, I'm probably repeating myself, but I've had people that had 2 hours to live. They didn't know it, I didn't know it. And I would visit them in their hospital bed. And they're very religious people, been in church for 40 years. And I say to them, you know, dying isn't the big deal. The big deal is meeting your Creator. Are you ready for that? You know, it's Jesus Christ. Are you ready to meet him? And invariably, they'll go either, yeah, Oh, that's wonderful. Good. You have a relationship. Well, I go to church a lot and I do this. Well, I haven't been in 20 years, but that's okay. I'm still that type of a person. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have anything. And that relationship means if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. All you have to do is repent of your sins, ask God to forgive you, and then pick up this book and pray that God would give you spiritual vision to see it and understand it. And if you do, he will, and your life will change. You will see things you can't even imagine, and you'll understand everything that's going on in this world. I don't care what it is, I understand it, because this book gives me all the answers to everything in life, and it'll give it to you. If that's you, you call me or see me. If my brothers and sisters in take home this message, look at everything with spiritual eyes, not temporary eyes. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for burdening my heart. That's what I want to say. I thank you for burdening my heart with the spiritual vision thing. Lord, it is so true. There's not a thing that's since this has been put on my heart, I have not found one thing in my life that does not have, I can't find a spiritual connection for. Everything has it. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray that you burden their hearts to view everything from a spiritual perspective. And what does that mean? That means when the phone rings, Lord, protect me. And when phone call is over with, think spiritually, then think physically. Would you help them to do that? Would you help me to do that even more? God, we thank you for that, and we know it's your will, because we know that we're to look at everything through your eyes, through your word, and that's the only way we can do it, is to put everything in context to your word. Help us to do that, give us skills at it, and do it all for your glory and our good. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn is 399. We're going to sing a couple of verses of Take My Life and Let It Be. 399. Goes to what number? Okay. Take the red hymnal. 585 in a red hymnal. Take my life and let it be.